Last weekend, I was not here, you might have noticed. I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, at the wedding of an acquired niece, that's what I call them. She's the oldest daughter of my oldest friend, and I have known her entire life. I remember Ingrid when she was a baby in her crib. I remember her when she was three at my wedding. I remember when she and several of her sisters were at my house for an Easter egg hunt. She is a lovely young woman. She is brave. She is devout in her faith. She is good-hearted. She is close to her four sisters. She married a lovely young man to whom she is very well suited. He seems like a really good egg, very kind. They are obviously in love. It was a wonderful celebration of a new life together, a new family, a new beginning. And both of them look so blissful. You know, when you go to a wedding and they just are glowing and everything is lovely and everything just goes so smoothly and nothing flustered them. It was great. Both of their families are so joyful about their future. It was really a blessing to be a witness to this milestone. So the next day, I was sitting in the airport waiting for my flight to bring me home when I received this message from a deacon friend in Vermont. Dear friends, I don't know if word has reached you yet about our colleague and friend, Jonathan Ross. He was in a tragic car accident yesterday morning in Woodbury, Vermont. He survived with serious injuries, but his two young daughters died at the scene. Olivia, age 8, and Rylan, age 2, were in the back seat. There are no words for this terrible tragedy. Please keep Jonathan and his wife Chelsea and their families in your prayers. Also, pray for Olivia and Rylan that they may rest in peace. May the love of God comfort all of them and us as we grieve for them. I was shocked. I did not expect to get that message after such a joyful weekend. For the record, Jonathan is a great dad. He is committed to his family. He and his wife have been married for more than 10 years. Jonathan is a lifelong outdoorsman. He taught his girls to love and respect God's creation. He took them fishing and camping, snowmobiling. He clearly loved sharing this love with them. And Jonathan also knows firsthand the importance of being a responsible parent. His daytime job is to serve as a caseworker with DCYF in Vermont, helping kids in crisis, removing them from abusive and neglectful situations when necessary. This is a terrible accident, unimaginable loss. And it made me wonder, how does someone respond to such a situation? How does a parent begin to understand how to process this? I know this kind of loss happens, and not infrequently. I get it. I lost a friend of mine in high school at the age of 17. She died from malignant melanoma 4 months before we graduated high school. In my own family, my dad's side, my grandparents had 8 children. 4 of them predeceased my grandmother. Some of you here may even understand that kind of loss. So my question all week has been, how is it possible to recover from a loss of that magnitude? How do we make sense of it? It feels like today's readings are a little bit of a response to that question. First, we hear in the collect today that God never fails to help and govern those whom God has set upon the sure foundation of his loving kindness. In other words, for those who believe, God is there, ready and willing, and always will be. Then all the readings describe how exactly God helps people just like us. In the Old Testament, God is there to help Jeremiah when his friends fail him. When Jeremiah's prophesying makes them feel really bad about themselves, they try to cause Jeremiah to sin And the prophet says, "The Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed." Jeremiah knows that he can trust God, that God will never let him down. Then in his letter to the Romans, Paul reminds us of another way that God has guaranteed to help us. Paul says that because we believe in Christ and try to live according to his will, we are guaranteed the resurrection that Jesus himself experienced. Where Jesus lives, we live. Finally, in today's gospel from Matthew, Jesus tells us about God's help, reminding us that God doesn't expect us to be as perfect as Jesus. It is enough, God says, for us to try to be like Jesus. The gospel goes on to say that we should have no fear of those who deride us for following Christ, because they have no power to hurt us. Rather, we know we can trust in God for help. After all, God cherishes each of us so much that they have even counted the hairs on our head. As followers of Christ, as members of God's people, we can have faith that God will be here to help us when terrible things happen. When all else lets us down, when our friends desert us, or we feel like we've sinned too much, or we feel lost in our own unworthiness, we can know that God will never walk away from us. Now, when and how that help will come, and what form it will take, is never made clear. I mean, God helps Jeremiah in the form of a dread warrior who can protect him from those close friends who want Jeremiah to stumble. For Paul, God helps us by being the beneficent parent who makes sure we have a way to be saved. And in the gospel reading, God helps us by telling us in no uncertain terms that we are precious in God's eyes. So what do we do when sorrow and doubt and fear get between us and God? When those chinks in our faith armor start to get bigger and we forget that God is here to help us? When grief over the deaths of children threatens to swallow us up, what do we do? Well, I think we all have those moments, that dark night of the soul, as St. John of the Cross described it, when evildoers seem to take up residence inside us and make us wonder if maybe this time God is going to let us down. Those moments of doubt and fear can be a gift to deepen our faith and our trust in God. Whether we turn to prayer or meditation or church or therapy, or conversations with family or friends, or some other tool to try and understand and get through those moments. At the end of the day, those feelings of doubt or fear are an opportunity. They make space for an authentic moment that where we can know that God will help us. In those moments, we can take heart in being reminded that God loves us so much that, of course, God will help us. If God sent Jesus to die even before we knew that we needed that intervention, why would God not show up now? Ultimately, what I am left with is this. I do not know if the tragedy that happened to this family in Vermont is part of God's plan. God's ways are a mystery. But what I do know is that God always is here to help us. For every challenge, every tragedy, every obstacle that feels too big, too hard, too daunting, we know God is here. Amen.